All right, Austin Bechtold, let's go out to the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. It's the final appearance of the season for our friend Bob Walk. And Bob, it's been a very interesting season. And for our purposes, the day that you visited the show was a great day. That was great of you to come over and say hello. And we really appreciate everything you've done for us. Thank you, sir.
Oh, well, I appreciate the kind words. I'm kind of shocked. Don't know what to say about that. But, I like talking to you guys. You guys are always, very fair with me with your questions and everything. And I try to do the best thing I can. Because of who I work for, I got to dance around some subjects, and you guys allow me the room to do that. And it's always a pleasure to go on the air with you and answer the questions you guys ask the best I can. And that wasn't planned to show up that day. I just was driving by and I was doing something for my kid, and there you were, right over there sitting. It was a lot of fun that day. I like going to the remote things. A lot of times I'll hear you guys out, and if you're close, I'm thinking, I should just go over there and say hi. So I like it when you guys get out of the studio and move around and do stuff like that.
Yeah, that was great. So for you, Bob, are you planning to continue to work Pirates games for a while? Do you go year by year, or how are you looking at that?
Well, it changes all the time because, my age, I'm getting older. I'll be 68 here in next month. So I'm coming back next year. I have another year left on my contract. After that, they might start going year to year with me. I don't know. It's kind of up to them. Now that I'm doing just primary home games and doing more radio than anything else, It's really become very much enjoyable to me because now I have some time off in the summer to kind of do the things that I wasn't able to do probably since I was 19 years old. It was the last time I was able to have this kind of freedom during the summer to go and enjoy myself at cookouts and things like that. So this has been great, and I'll be more than happy to keep going for as long as they'll have me in the same role that I've been doing. It's great. Hopefully we can win some more games. That's the only thing that really is not great.
Well, let's talk about that because we're winding down here with four more games or three more games.
Three more games.
So, talked to Derek Shelton about this the other day. He characterized it, I think, if I'm accurate here, Austin, as not a total disappointment, but there were certainly disappointing aspects of this season.
It's a fair summary.
Bob, it looks like they're going to wind up with about the same amount of wins. So how do we look at this? Is it a step forward, or were they more or less running in place this year?
Well, I think that what you just said there, what Shelty just said really makes a lot of sense to me, that it – there were some things that were really great that I really enjoyed. The starting pitching, for the most part, there's some things that I didn't like about the starting rotation, but for the most part, the way it panned out, I think was a great story. The schemes thing, one of the greatest things that has ever happened to the Pirates, to have him come and there was a ton of hype, and he actually went way past the hype. He did much better than I ever thought. So that was a great story. The Ortiz thing with him getting the opportunity last year and falling on his face and then having to go back to the bullpen and really I love the fact that he kept his mouth shut, didn't complain, and just went out and did his thing. I like that a lot, and it paid off for him. It kind of shows the way that you need to do stuff. You just keep your nose to the grindstone, work hard, and let things take care of themselves. And if you're good enough, you're good enough. And that's what's happened with Ortiz. And as it turns out, he's our second best starting pitcher on this team right now. So the really good story was the starting rotation. The bad stuff, the disappointing stuff is, 2 months ago, we were in a good spot to maybe make the postseason. If nothing else, at least, surpass what we did last year as far as record, maybe even get a couple games above 500. That would have been a nice step forward, but we didn't. And so, the season turns out to be, just running in place. We went backwards in areas, and then that canceled out, where we were able to move forward with the starting rotation. So there's work to be done this winter to figure out how we can prevent this from happening again next year. What we need to do. Everybody talks about money. I agree with that. Let's spend some more money, but it's got to be spent in the right places. I'm not sure that we did that really this year. There were some guys that really we brought in that, and I read your article today too. You pointed out all this stuff that didn't perform and didn't come through. And, it's hard to get the right guys, but that's part of, being the Pirates. You got to be really good. You got to pick the right guys. And we got to do a good job of that in filling our holes that we have for next spring training.
Where would you start if you had a little money to spend, Bob? What would you prioritize above everything else? If I told you could go out and get one guy, spend a little, or maybe spend a medium amount and get one guy to fill what position?
Well, I think the guy, I can't put out a name because I don't know who's going to be out there and how much money are we talking about and all that stuff. I get that. So, and generally, I would love to have a first baseman that was a middle of the lineup, a big time run producer that's going to get you 90, 100 RBIs and play a good, credible first base. Now that's going to be a ton of money. I understand that. And I don't know if we have budget for that sort of thing. And is that going to really mess up, some of the other needs that we have? The biggest part of the failure in the last couple of months has been the bullpen. Now, the bullpen probably is not a high dollar place, but we do have to fix that bullpen. We got to bring some people in that will be more consistent for us. So that's another place you're going to have to look. But offensively, the first half of the season, we let a lot of wins slip by because we couldn't score enough runs. And I think traditionally, third base and first base, the corner infield spots, are places you go to get offense, not singles. But just that's where you go to get doubles and home runs and run production, not RBIs. I know a lot of younger baseball organizational people don't like RBIs as a stat, but runs win games, and that's what it's all about. We're here to win. So we need run producers, and it's hard to find, but we got to figure out a way to get it done.
Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Bob Walk on the line. Bob, I know I don't want to put you in a difficult position with the Rowdy Tellez thing that erupted the other day. So I'll ask you this question in regard to that. Even when you played, are guys aware of such things going into the final days of a season? Do you know that, so-and-so, Lloyd McClendon needs a hit to reach a bonus in his deal? Are you guys in the clubhouse aware of such things?
I was never aware of other people's, deals in their contracts. Maybe I just didn't care. I didn't pay attention to that stuff. I didn't know what anybody was making, didn't care what anybody was making. My own personal stuff, I was very much aware, not all year. You don't think about it during the season. But if you get down to you got a couple months left in the season and you know that you need, four more appearances or something to to collect a bonus at the end of the year. Yeah, you personally, you know what your own contract has in it, and you know what you need to get accomplished. You know, I need six more innings. I need this. I need that. You definitely know that. But as far as me knowing what Doug Drabek needed, no, I had no clue, no idea.
Did you ever find yourself in a situation where a team you were on either went out of their way to help you reach that, or maybe even gave you the bonus if you were close, or where they went out of their way to keep you from one?
No, I think everything was pretty up and up. I never felt that I was prevented from having something. I never was, released or anything or sent down or, I was sent down a lot, maybe, and being sent down definitely prevented, for some things being reached, but there were always, things that, I'm getting sent down because they don't think I'm doing the job, and that's understandable.
Yeah.
I don't know that anybody was ever sent down or got rid of because they were about to get a bonus. I don't recall that ever happening, and certainly it didn't happen to me.
Lastly, Bob, how about a World Series winner? Who you got?
It's a crapshoot going, into the end of the postseason. It's a tournament. I think a little bit easier to predict division winners when you got a couple months left. You can say, okay, I like these guys. Then it's who's going to be hot. I'll tell you who I'm going to be rooting for, and it's just it's not because I really like this organization or anything like that, but it would be fitting if the Dodgers win the World Series this year with what Ohtani has done. He's the greatest player of our time without even an argument. I mean, you can argue all the time, and now he's going into this postseason with this fantastic accomplishments that he's been able to have. Having him hold up the World Series trophy at the end of all this would be pretty fitting. So I think the Dodgers have a great chance to go and win everything, and I hope they do.
Bob, we appreciate
one time I've only one time ever I've rooted for the Dodgers.
Well, with Ohtani, I get it. Believe me. Thank you for the time today and all season again, Bob, and we'll be talking soon.
All right, Joe. You need me for anything, give me a call.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
What a man he is. Huh, Limits? I mean, that's great stuff. And just enjoy talking to him.
Yeah, I like watching him on the broadcast.
So do I.
He does a nice job.
Watching and listening for all these years, and I'm glad that he'll continue that because, I mean, many reasons, but one is just that it's a very easy and interesting listen. It really is. I mean, I'm sure he's told some of the same stories more than once, just like Steve Blass, but you don't care and you don't even notice. It's just very conversational, and it's hard to describe, but it's an enjoyable listen. And that's all that matters sometimes when it comes to broadcasters. You know what I mean? Am I enjoying this experience? Is it easy on the ears? Is it insightful from time to time? Is it something that I want to go back to? And with Bob, it always has been.
Yeah, because
always.
There are some broadcasters that, sometimes you're just like, just okay. They don't enhance the broadcast as much as guys like Bob do.
Right.
And it's a testament to how good Bob is at what he does.
Yes, it is.
I have an injury update for you on somebody we mentioned earlier in the show.
What do we got?
Ian Rappaport. Micah Parsons did, in fact, suffer a high ankle sprain.
Oh,
his status is yet to be determined.
Well, like I said earlier, I don't want to see anybody get hurt. I don't. Having said that, it's happened, and the fact of the matter is that everything that could be going the Steelers' way is going the Steelers' way so far this season, including their next two opponents after the Colts, each of them has just lost their best player on the whole team to a high ankle sprain. That's Micah Parsons and that's Max Crosby.
Well, what about, don't rule out the Colts, Joe. Dazaian Rappaport has ruled out Kenny Moore, their corner, and Kwity Paye, one of their best pass rushers.
That too.
They're not playing this weekend.
Of course, and I'm aware that the Steelers are having their own injury problems. Don't get me wrong, but Alex Highsmith isn't the best player on this team. Them losing Crosby and Parsons, those two teams, is this team losing T.J. Watt. Simply put, your best player, your game wrecker. Now, who knows? Maybe Max Crosby is limping and playing by next weekend. It doesn't sound like he's playing this weekend, though, or two weekends, whenever they play the Raiders. And maybe Micah makes a comeback. But those are very, very difficult injuries to come back and be yourself. And that brings us back to the beginning of the show and how it's almost too good. If you're of the mind and of the sort of makeup that you're always waiting for other shoes to drop, then you're probably worried right now. Because everything that could be going the Steelers' way, except for, as I said, some injuries to some key players, I won't dismiss that, is going their way. So take advantage of it. They are so far. And this is a team that they should absolutely beat and maybe absolutely throttle. And I realize the Colts in week one gave the Texans a good game, but the Texans seem a little weird so far this season as far as are they picking up where they left off, or is that going to be kind of a struggle to get back there? What's going on with that team? Some just take a while to get going, and this gets back to Mike Tomlin's camp, I think, and the type of training camp that he conducted. And I criticized him for it, especially when some of those injuries started cropping up. Like, what are we doing here? Remember year one under Tomlin when he went hog wild in training camp and his players were beaten down by the end of the year? Is he doing that again? Well, he looks right at this point because the Steelers clearly, and especially defensively, started the year with an edge. A physical edge on teams. And I give him credit for that. I think that's one reason they've started fast. And I think they're going to get better. I think the offense is going to get better. I think this week they put up a little below 30 points, right around 30 points. When they said going into this pass game that they felt the offense was ready to explode, I was like, okay, all right. But you know what? They did take a big leap forward. They basically put 27 on a good Chargers defense. They chose not to score at the end. Justin Fields took a leap. They stayed in the end with a run game and shut the game down, even though they were getting really nothing out of the run game early. I thought it was a very efficient game for the Steelers offensively. And I think, despite some of the injuries up front and Jaylen Warren too, that there's every reason to believe they'll take another step indoors at Indy. Do you?
I think so. They, from an offensive perspective, have grown in every game. And they've gotten better in every game. Whether that's continuity, Arthur Smithman matchups, maybe the matchups are just better.
Isn't this matchup perfect?
I think this matchup's great.
The Colts can't stop the run, and they got injuries now.
Them and Dallas are the only ones that literally cannot stop anybody. And those are the next two opponents that the Steelers face against the run. They should run all over these teams for 150 yards.
There's some people around the league that think that the Chicago Justin Fields will show up. Maybe they're right. I loved what Justin Fields did in this past game. And I think it's full steam ahead for him. However, that story is largely unwritten. So I don't blame people for saying that. People have probably watched him a lot closer than I have in his career. But all I can judge him on is what he does here. Different coaches, better organization, some continuity here. Let's see what happens. And I wouldn't be surprised if this was the game that we saw Justin Fields, the runner, break out a little bit. And I would love to see that.
And shouldn't that matter? Very talented guy in a new organization, an organization with stability compared to an organization that has never gotten a quarterback right in 60 years.
Of course.
Shouldn't that be not just a footnote?
I mean, this guy upgraded in a big way from Matt Eberflus, didn't he?
I think so. Even though he's got a head coach, a coordinator that was fired as a head coach but had success in previous stops.
One run of 20 yards or more, yes or no, for Justin Fields this week. I say yes.
Yeah, I think yes. I think there's one.
One run of 30 or more.
No, I think it's just
one run of 40 or more.
If it's not 30, it won't be 40.
I think he's going to have a 40-yard run this week. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. What's cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. You and I are picking games, Dr. Bechtold. Who won last week? We started this last week, so that's going to mark the official start of our season. Who won?
Well, Joe, you crushed me.
Did I?
Last week. 5 out of 7 you got right. I only got 3 out of 7 right. I got every NFL pick right, every college pick right. You got every college pick right. You missed the Browns-Giants game and the Bills-Jaguars game. I also missed that. I had the Chargers winning, and I had the Cowboys beating the Ravens.
Who had the Jaguars being this bad? This bad?
Not me. That's why I thought they'd bounce back, and I thought they'd cover. I didn't think they'd win, but the spread was 5. I thought it'd be a field goal game, and they lost by like 40.
I'm almost tempted to pick that game this weekend because I think if they lose, little Doug Peterson's going to be fired, and they're a 6.5-point underdog. Anyhow, let's do the college games first. I'm 5-2. You're 3-4, did you say?
Yeah.
That's all right. You can do it. You can launch a comeback right now. Let's start with the college games. You give me the college games, I'll give you the pro games. Let's do it.
All right, let's start with Penn State against Illinois. It's a ranked matchup. Penn State is 9th in the country. Illinois is 19th. The spread is 18 points.
Wow.
In favor of Penn State. That's a big number, Joe.
I saw the Illinois coach, is it Bielema?
Yeah.
Sort of taking little shots at the Penn State atmosphere, the Penn State crowd. So I hope that they have a chance to blow him out, and I hope they do. I hope they do, and I think they will. He's an unlikable character, isn't he?
Yeah, Bielema?
Yeah.
Do you think it's by 18 points, though?
No, I think it's by 25 points, so Penn State will cover.
Yeah, I think Penn State covers, too. I don't have the greatest feeling about it. It could be a two-score game, but I'll say that Penn State also covers as well.
Next.
Georgia, Alabama. Huge game at Alabama. Number 2 versus number 4. Georgia is favored by 1, Joe.
You go first on that one.
I like Georgia in this game. Kalen DeBoer, I'm still trying to figure out what his Alabama team philosophy is going to look like in their identity. Georgia just continues to be the bully in the SEC, and I know Alabama beat them last year. They get revenge in Tuscaloosa.
I'm going Alabama. That quarterback might win the Heisman, and between them, they've played 6 games, and the only close one is Georgia barely beating Kentucky. What are we doing there? A 1-point win over Kentucky? I'll take Alabama to win.
Louisville and Notre Dame. Notre Dame is favored by 7. It's another ranked matchup. Louisville 15. Notre Dame is 16. Notre Dame favored by 7 points.
I can't get Notre Dame's horrific loss out of my mind. I think this is one you jump on. Louisville's beaten everybody by double digits, including Austin Peay.
Remember when your Jacksonville State.
Remember when your nickname was almost Mr. P?
It was not almost. We will never go back to that again.
I'm taking Louisville to beat this spread. You?
Yeah, I'll take Louisville as well. I think Notre Dame, they might lose this game, but it's in South Bend at home. And if they're going to lose, it's going to be by a field goal in dramatic fashion, even though Louisville beat them last year.
I know they did. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing, up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. High of 75 today with cloudy skies. Are you ready to get to the NFL?
Let's do it.
All right. I just lost everything. I've lost everything. What happened? Oh, here it is. All right. Let's start in the division and let's go to the Andy Dalton Bowl. Bengals, a 4.5-point favorite over the Panthers. Who you got?
I think Cincinnati finally proves me right for 1 week. They win by over a touchdown.
I think you're wrong. I think that the Bengals are in a much worse state than a lot of people think. Every time I hear somebody talk Bengals, including you, it's, they're 0-3. They'll be fine. Will they? Their defense stinks. I think Andy Dalton lights them up. I think the Panthers win outright and go 4-0. How do you like that?
Well, let's see it happen. I don't think it will.
I do. Next game is a great game. Bills at the Ravens, an epic quarterback showdown here. I think Josh Allen's the best player in all of football. However, I think in this game that the Ravens get it together at home and probably win by a field goal, in which case with a 2.5-point spread, I would win. I'm taking the Ravens.
Yeah, I like the Ravens too. I feel like the magic of the Bills is going to run out in one game, not full season-wise. And Baltimore going to 1-3 would be a significant detriment to their ultimate goals, plus it's at home. Give me Baltimore.
You copied me there. Let's go Commanders and Browns. Man, is this interesting. The Commanders are a 1-point favorite. They've scored on, I forget the number, basically all their drives in the last game and a half. And Jaden Daniels looks like a real player, doesn't he? And I think the Browns are just imploding.
The Commanders are playing Arizona. The Browns are playing the Raiders.
What? Then did I get the first game wrong? No.
No, you got Buffalo and Baltimore right, but Cleveland is playing the Raiders this week in Vegas.
Holy bird biscuits. You're right. What's the point spread?
It is Raiders minus 1.5.
And I'm all flummoxed. Miles Garrett has 2 foot injuries, an Achilles and a hip injury. He's going to show up to the game in a body cast. This is, the Browns are a mess right now. It actually doesn't matter who they're playing. I'm taking the Raiders in this game. You?
Wrong. I'm taking the Browns. I don't think the Raiders are any good. And they're talking about players taking, plays off or whatever. They're making personal decisions or business decisions. I think the Raiders, though, against the Browns, Cleveland will find a way to do it because their defense is still good enough.
No, it's not. Their defense stinks. Now I'm afraid to look at the next game because I don't know what I'm looking at. Am I going to pick a game from later in the season?
This is the Steeler game.
No, we have 2 other NFL games to pick.
Well, we have a minute to do so.
Then so we will. Chiefs-Chargers. Chiefs by a touchdown. I'm taking the Chiefs. The Chargers are banged up coming out of that
game.
Yeah,
I'm taking the Chiefs too. Who knows if Herbert's going
to
play?
All right, let's go to the Steelers. Let's go with a 1.5-point. Steelers are favored. I said 28-13. I'm sticking to that.
I think they're going
to
blow them out too. I got Steelers. Steelers over the Colts. So we differ on Raiders and Browns. We differ on Alabama and Georgia, and we both went Louisville.
Thank you, Limits. I hope you have the weekend of your life.
You as well. Thank you very much.